where the life of inmates in prisons across Kansas is a world away from the aesthetics of the Kemper Museum of Modern Art. Today we're going to unveil a most unlikely story of how these two worlds will intersect, beginning in November. Sue Ellen Freed is with us. She's the chairman of Reaching Out From Within. She's a charter member of the American Dance Therapy Association, served as president of Prevent Child Abuse America, and was a recipient of President George H. Bush's Point of Light Award. Sue Ellen, welcome back to Up to Date. So nice
to
have you.
Good to see you again, Steve.
Nick Vidros is also here. He's the award-winning photographer of Vidros & Associates. He has made his mark in the world of commercial and advertising photography with clients such as Apple, Coca-Cola, and Microsoft. His work also includes stunning portraits, diverse landscapes, and the life of gnomes. Nick, thanks for taking some time with us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Well, we're talking two very different paths here, Sue Ellen, between your life and Nick's. I want to begin by giving our listeners an overview of Reaching Out From Within, this self-help program developed by and for prisoners in Kansas. What is it?
It's magical. It's a phenomena because it's self-selective. People are not assigned to come to this program. And you can come for three meetings and sit there and observe what's happening. And if you want to join, at the fourth meeting, you do an icebreaker. There are a lot of people who, when they sit there and see the absolute, authentic, incredible, intense honesty, people digging deep in their soul to challenge their demons. There are people who choose not to join because they're not ready to do that kind of work.
They're talking about what at these sessions, Sue Ellen?
The Blue Book.
The Blue Book. You're holding
yes,
in your hands here.
Right.
The big, thick Blue Book.
Right. It's a curriculum, but it's more than a curriculum. But it covers child abuse, spouse abuse, sexual abuse, substance abuse, addiction, anger management.
Who wrote that book?
The inmates asked for some speakers to come in. And they'd listen to what they said, but then Greg Musselman, who created this Blue Book.
One of the inmates.
He was with the Lifers Club. He would make a statement about child abuse, and then he would ask a question. Is there anybody around this table that has some personal insights that they could share about child abuse? And the stories pour out. So every single topic has a series of italics questions that transform this from a curriculum to a therapeutic experience.
Nick Vidros, you're working for Coca-Cola, you're working for Apple. Why are you taking portraits of these prisoners? What got you involved here?
Well, Steve, my roots are actually photojournalism. I graduated from the University of Missouri in Columbia, and so I've always had this inner desire to do photographic essays of things that matter. I do make a living doing commercial and advertising, but I always reach back, and every month or so I try to take on a project that I think makes a difference.
And what grabbed you about this particular program? What drew you in?
Well, after I attended one of the meetings behind the walls, it sort of changed my beliefs entirely, what I thought about prisons and what I thought about inmates. And
what struck you about that meeting? What grabbed you, Nick?
Well, the inmates that were there were intelligent, articulate, welcoming. I felt completely brought into their group. And I kept writing down all the notes, and I thought, my gosh, every single quality that they seem to possess are the ones that my good friends possess.
Where were you, up in Leavenworth?
We were in Lansing.
Lansing.
We started out at Lansing Prison. And so the way it began was I just talked to Sue Ellen. I said, I really want to put a face on this program because your organization is incredible. And one thing I want to make clear is the organization's been around for 33 years. And here I come along just to give it a slight shot in the arm, so
30,
to speak.
33 years, Sue Ellen?
Yes.
Yeah. How did you get started?
The Lifers Club did a survey in their cell block about people who had been abused and making the correlation between having been abused and being incarcerated. And they wrote an editorial, and I found it absolutely incredible, and I asked for permission to quote, mm-hmm. and they invited me to come to the Lifers Club, mm-hmm. and they decided that they wanted to become part of a statewide comprehensive plan to prevent child abuse, mm-hmm. and from there it just took off. They kept saying, what can we do more? We want to do more. We want to do more.
Because they're convinced there is this connection between abuse and what they did later on in their lives.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Nick, your approach to this project and your contribution, talk to us a little bit about exactly what you've been doing to contribute here.
Well, my contribution was I conceptualized that I wanted to shoot portraits, and I wanted these portraits to convey the good side of the inmates that have actually had the courage to change. And so the expressions that I wanted to make sure I captured were the ones that were on their faces, were the kindness, was the goodness that was starting to come about in their lives because of their ability to change. So I chose a square format, because the square is a box, mm-hmm. and they're in a box. So the symbolism was there. I wanted all of them to be black and white. My biggest dream was
black and white because?
Well, black and white is a wonderful medium. It's more of the fine art medium of photography. So I wanted to lean toward an artistic portrayal of these individuals. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have eye-to-eye contact of them, and so that you were looking straight into their eyes. Mm-hmm. And a few of them I let turn. One of them I even photographed his backside just to break up so that the show wasn't completely monotonous. Mm-hmm. So I ended up photographing 52 inmates, men, women, African-Americans, Caucasians.
Native American.
Native Americans, thank you. Mm-hmm. And also a range of ages. I wanted to make sure I got some of the inmates that were in their middle-aged, as well as some that were very young.
Was it difficult to get them to pose?
I didn't think so. To me, that was the easy part. Mm-hmm. I set up and I tried to treat them in a very kind way. And honestly, by the time we were finished with the session, which only lasted 15, 20 minutes, we hugged it out. Here mm-hmm. I was feeling a real bond with these guys.
Yeah.
It really changed my perception about what you think about the way inmates are.
And it changed your perception in the sense both that you saw more, rehabilitation work going on in the prison, or that there's a different side to these men in most cases than you realized?
As was explained to me, everybody seemingly has a bit of an angel in them, and everybody has a little bit of a demon in them. And what I saw was the angels that were coming out.
Mm-hmm. And you were surprised by that?
I definitely was surprised. They were all just great. I really wished, I kept saying, I hope I see you on the outside. I'd love to get together with you sometime, mm-hmm. you know, and I meant it.
I should point out that we're going to have a slideshow of some of Nick's work up on our website tomorrow. That's at kcur.org/up-to-date. And Faces of Change, photographs by Nick Vidros, opens November 20th and continues through February 7th at the Kemper Museum of Contemporary Art in Kansas City. How did you get the Kemper involved in this, Sue Ellen? Because only you could do something like that.
Well, I'll tell you what the secret is. The secret is to take someone to the prison because they become infected. Mm-hmm. They go through the same transformational experience that Nick did, and I took B.B. Kemper. She said, I would like to go to a prison, and I took her. And she was so special that evening in the way she affirmed the conversation that she had witnessed. Mm-hmm. And when she left, the chairman of the group went up to her and said, I'd like to ask you a favor. And she said, what? And he said, would you please come back? Hmm. And she went through volunteer training, and she is now a volunteer in our program.
Ms. Wellen, this is the wrong thing to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Here you are, this diminutive older woman showing up at these prisons. How does that work with these guys? What do they make of you coming in there?
Well, I am 83, so I am okay. I am a grandmother type.
I didn't realize you were 83, so
yes.
Yeah.
And I think they see me as this kind of figure, somebody who loves them unconditionally. Mm-hmm. I don't want to know about their crimes. I only want to know who they are now and what they're working to change themselves and become the person that they deserve to be.
You know, a lot of critics of the federal prison system, and you've heard this many times, say there's no rehabilitation going on in these places. These are just warehouses where these people are stored for a while until maybe they're readmitted into society. But are you seeing something different there that we're all missing?
Well, our recidivism rates are astonishing.
That's the issue.
Okay. If you attend between 20 and 40 meetings, the recidivism rate is 23%. 40 to 60, it drops to 17. If you attend 60 or more meetings, it drops to 8%. The national recidivism data is 50 to 67%. And this program does not cost the Kansas Department of Corrections a penny.
Because, again, the inmates themselves put this thing on, have organized it, and have written the curriculum.
Right. And they chair the meetings. People say, Sue Ellen, what do you do when you go to the meetings? And I say, I am a witness to personal transformations.
Hmm. How often do they meet?
They meet once a week, and my presence makes a statement. It says, I believe that what you're doing is so valuable, it's worth my time to be here because I'm changing along with you. Mm-hmm. The Department of Corrections does publish. They print the blue book for us. So everyone who is in our program gets a copy of the blue book. And it's now been transplanted to North Carolina.
So clearly the Department of Corrections thinks this program is worth something because they're engaged at least a little bit here.
You know what the wardens have told us? They've said that our program changes the culture of the prison because the men who come to our group handle themselves differently. They diffuse violence. They resolve conflicts. They're into giving back. They set an example. They are role models for everyone else in the system.
You know, Nick Vidros, those stats don't lie. Those numbers are fairly powerful here. But even in the back of your mind, is there a chance that these guys are just putting on a front to sort of find a way to get out sooner?
It's easy to think that way.
Yeah, sure.
As I even joked with them while I was shooting their picture, I would say, now, is this really you, or are you putting me on with a con? And they'd laugh, and that helped me actually get a moment that I wanted. But it was so real, the transformation, and they will be the first to tell you that there are some inmates that probably should never get out.
Mm-hmm.
They told me that. And those people are not in the organization. There are some people that may at a later date choose to transform. So I want to make sure that they have that opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But they commented that there were some very tough and mean individuals in the prison, but they were not a part of this program.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly believed so strongly in those statistics that I felt that if I became involved and we could spread this across more prisons in America, that it would make the world a better place.
Because the key to this program, Sue Ellen, I'm thinking, is that, as you mentioned before, it doesn't cost anything. That's a huge selling point, I imagine, in departments of corrections all across this country right now.
There was a small piece about our program on Sunday morning with Charles Osgood. Hmm. And we received over 100 inquiries from 27 states. But at that time, we had no professional staff. We have been volunteer-driven for so long, and we simply couldn't begin to take on a national expansion. But now we do have a fabulous CEO, executive director named Lynn Hinkle, and we are looking to do that. I also want.
So is the word being spread to other states across the country? Is there some information packet that's being sent out saying, here's what we do and here's what you might want to consider in your state?
We haven't initiated it that way. So far, the requests are coming to us.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to say one thing. I'm not the chairman. I'm the co-founder. Jason Miles, an incredible young man, is the chairman of our program.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And And so there is a chance this is going to spread across the country, though.
Yes, we sincerely hope so.
Okay. Tell me, yeah, go ahead.
And Steve, let me jump in on that, too, because the donation that I made was the amount of time I spent on this. Mm-hmm. I literally spent close to 1,000 hours working on this project.
Really?
I spent weeks going up to the prison and photographing. And so that was my charitable donation. But money is important. And if people can make a donation, even of $500, it supports one inmate for an entire year mm-hmm. to help them with the reentry. 98% of inmates eventually get out. And you need to have something there in place for them to help them so that they don't reoffend and go back in.
You know, that's an interesting point. I just had, I'll mention him by name, the member of the Kansas City, Missouri School Board, Eric Leonard West, came and spoke to one of my classes just the other day. And he began his little presentation to my students by looking them all in the eye. And he said, "What are you doing to help the school district? What's been your contribution in terms of helping these scholars?" He refers to the students as scholars. These scholars advance and improve. And, of course, there was some uncomfortable squirming across the room and people really unsure how to respond. But Eric's point was, you share in the responsibility here. And what I hear you guys saying here is that that we all share, Nick, in this responsibility. Am I hearing that right?
I think everybody should, because each inmate costs about $24,000 a year to incarcerate in the state of Kansas, according to my facts. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so if you have a lower recidivism, it ends up costing the state a lot less money. Mm-hmm. And so if people could think of it in those terms and they could donate annually or become a part of this, it does honestly make the world a better place. I've always felt that there were certain projects I wanted to do for love of, and honestly, the winds of my soul kept telling me that this was one of them.
Hmm.
And so I became involved, and then once I did, I still want to go back to the prison probably and do a little bit more photography to add to this collection mm-hmm. of work.
If you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date, and we're talking about a self-help program inside Kansas prisons. It's called Reaching Out from Within. We're visiting with Nick Vidros, a photographer, Sue Ellen Freed, who's very much involved with this program. Where did the money come from to hire an executive director here, Sue Ellen?
Well, we did a fundraiser with Kansas City Repertory Theater.
Mm-hmm.
There was a show called When I Come to Die, and so people paid an increased price to come, and that was a fundraiser. And we were able to then hire an executive director. But now we have so many dreams, so many more ways we want to expand. As Nick was saying, coming out is even more challenging than adjusting to prison.
Coming out in what sense?
Well, if you come out of prison back to the community and you have a prison record, trying to get a job, mm-hmm. trying to get housing.
We just had a recent conversation about that right here. Yeah.
And so we need mentors. Mm-hmm. We need volunteers who will help meet with the people before they come out. And we only mentor people who have gone through our program
mm-hmm.
because those are the only people that we will absolutely vouch for.
Mm-hmm. Are you seeing more people reaching out and offering that kind of help, or is there just a dearth of that right now?
I think this is a moment in time. I mean, the Republicans and the Democrats are coming together, the ACLU and the Koch brothers. This is such a propitious moment for the whole country to focus on something that we all need. Like Nick said, 98% are coming back. Wouldn't you want to have someone living next door to you who had gone through everything that needs to be done to become a responsible, productive,
mm-hmm.
beautiful spouse, parent, nurturing person?
Yeah. Just maybe a final point, Sue Ellen. How difficult is it to encourage and attract new members to this program inside the prison and get even more inmates involved?
The men do it themselves. In fact, that's how the whole program spread. We never started the program in any of the prisons.
Hmm.
This Greg Musselman, who founded the original program, and the Blue Book came about. Whenever anybody was transferred to another prison, they took the Blue Book to the warden, and they said, would you please let me start the program here?
So it's all self-fueled.
Yes.
Okay. Well, interesting program, Reaching Out from Within. I want to thank Nick Vidros and Sue Ellen Freed. And again, you can see Nick's photographs, Faces of Change, photographs by Nick Vidros, showcasing inmates of the Kansas ROFW groups. The exhibition opens November 20th and continues through February 7th at the Kemper Museum of Contemporary Art here in Kansas City. Nick, nice to have you.
Thank you very
much. Sue Ellen, what a pleasure to have you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve.